أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So alhamdulillah, today we have reached Surah Al-Inshiqaq, which is Surah number 84 of the Quran. And before we begin, again, like I always give you tips, these are bonus tips for those who come early. So the tip of today is a practical implementation of the benefit you get from studying tafsir, right? And studying the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, mashallah, all of you, you've been following along and you've been understanding the meanings of these surahs. But guess what? We need to discuss how to apply this in our lives where it sticks to you now, okay? Because otherwise it's gonna evaporate. And so, the best or the optimal way to enjoy the Quran and enjoy these meanings is to memorize them. So these short surahs, your homework should be, or your plan should be, you should have a plan to memorize these surahs so that you can, inshallah, then recite these ayat, these same surahs that you've been studying, you recite them in your salah, alone at home. Not with the imam in the masjid, alone at home. Just pray two sunnah rak'ah before sleeping or whatever. And you recite these surahs out of memory. And you do it slowly. And as you're reciting them, you recall the lessons. And this, my dear brothers and sisters, will be the peak experience with the Quran. You really want to enjoy what Quran is? This is the ultimate enjoyment of the Quran. It's when you recite the surahs in your salah with understanding and you're taking your time, you know? So there's no rush. There's no imam who's reciting fast. Like even Surah Al-Fatiha, like with the imam, if you want to think deeply about the, you won't be able to because he's just going too fast, which is okay, right? I'm not blaming the imam here, okay? But I'm just saying, that's why the Sahaba, that's why the Prophet ﷺ, they used to enjoy spending the nights doing what? Not tilawa, they used to pray with the Quran, right? So the Sahaba, they didn't have masahif, if you think about it. It was all in their hearts and they used to just recite it over and over again in their salah, and they're enjoying all night long. This is like their break time. This is like their chilling time, you know? Them and the Quran, and that's, it's a spiritual high for them, and it becomes addictive. When you taste it once, it becomes addictive. So that should be the goal. I'm giving you all like a kind of like a homework for you to, inshallah. I'm not saying memorize all the surahs that we just covered, but just make it part of your plan that I want to memorize all of them gradually, and then try to practice them in your salah, and you will feel the difference. It's going to be something else. It's completely different than attending a dars. When you recite them for yourself and you understand, and you feel like your ruh is flying, you know. So that's something like that's like the goal that we should all be aiming towards. Okay, inshallah. So let's get right into it. Surah Al-Inshiqaq. So Inshiqaq basically means tearing apart. Okay, and Allah is describing the sky here. So this is one of those surahs which are also a teaser of the Day of Judgment. Remember I told you the Prophet ﷺ has told that there are certain surahs that if you recite will give you a picture, a view of the Day of Judgment. So one of them was Surah Al-Takwir, the other one was Al-Infitar, and this is the third one, Al-Inshiqaq, exactly. So it's a Mekki surah again, overall theme is Day of Judgment. There's 25 ayat, so we should, inshallah, be able to wrap up within an hour today. What's interesting about this surah is that it talks about the inevitability of the Day of Judgment coming. What does inevitability mean? It's a complicated word. So the idea that it's coming and it's unavoidable. It's unavoidable. That's like the overall theme of this surah. It's gonna come. Whether you like it or not, face the reality, it's gonna come. Okay, so just keep that in mind. Overall structure of the surah, there's four parts to the surah. Okay, four parts. Part number one, Allah's taking us on a journey of the Day of Judgment. What's happening on the Day of Judgment? That's part number one. Part number two, Allah will take us through the human's life. The human being, that's basically the journey that the human being goes through in his life. Okay, so it's prior to the Day of Judgment. So Allah's showing us the future, then He's going to take us to the past, show us the journey that's leading to what? That's leading to the Day of Judgment. And then third part is think. Again, reflection. Think deeply about the coming of this day of judgment. Think deeply about how things are gradually, you know, happening. Just like the sun sets, just like the moon goes through stages, we'll see that. Just like the day turns into night, similarly, the day of judgment is going to come. You know, whether you like it or not, it's going to come. And how, I mean, do you have any doubts that after the night, the day comes? Nobody has that doubt, right? After the night, the day will come. The sun does set every day. The moon does go through its stage, and nobody has a doubt about it. And Allah will argue with them in this manner, that just like these natural things that you're seeing, they're going through these stages gradually. Similarly, your life gradually will end, and you will end up on the day of judgment. It's going to come. So why are you doubting it? Why aren't you willing to face it? Why are you discrediting that whole idea of day of judgment? It's as natural as the sun sets every day and as natural as the sun rises. It's bound to happen. So that's the theme. And then part number four is going to be the final warning. Okay, so four parts. Let's refresh. Part one, day of judgment. Part two, the human's journey towards the day of judgment. Part three will be think about the inevitability of the day of judgment. Think how gradually things are happening. And then part number four, what was it? I forgot. And you forgot also? Well, part four, the final warning. The final warning of the day of judgment. Okay? And so let's begin. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ إِذَا السَّمَاءٌ شَقَّتْ إِذَا السَّمَاءٌ شَقَّتْ. When, and remember I told you what إِذَا means? When that happens, when the sky tears open. That's what انشقاق means. And another meaning of انشقاق is when you crack something and it's irreversible. So imagine like there's a wooden chair and you crack it. Eventually it breaks in half, right? Can you bring it back together? You can't. So that's what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment. The sky is going to tear apart and you can't fix it back. Okay, that's what انشقاق means. So tearing open violently. Okay, that's what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment at the sky. And انشقاق also comes from when you're about to slaughter an animal and you basically remove its skin. That's also انشقاق. Okay, tearing the skin apart, removing the skin. And then Allah says, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. This is a beautiful ayah. Okay, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. What does أَذِنَ mean? It means two things. Given permission. And the other thing is to listen. إذن, in the Arabic language, is the ear. Okay, so it's as if the sky, Allah is saying, the sky is waiting for its master's permission to tear open. Okay, that's what Allah is saying here. Now let's think about that deeply. What's really going on? So the sky, Allah is saying, وحقت. You know what حقت means? And it rightly deserves to tear apart. So what Allah is saying here is that the sky is created, it wants to, it's designed to tear apart. It's just waiting for that day to come. The sky wants to tear apart. Who's keeping it from tearing apart? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And which name comes to your mind? From the master, remember the master, the Rabb had five meanings, right? Which meaning would apply here perfectly? Al-Qayyim, Al-Qayyum, right? The one who holds things together to keep you going. Okay, the one who keeps you living, basically. So, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kun fayakun, the sky tears apart and we're finished. Correct? What holds this from happening? Al-Qayyum. Okay, Al-Rabb. So Allah here is saying, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. And so, on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give permission to the sky. Go ahead, do what you're designed to do, finally. SubhanAllah. That's really the imagery here. So it's kind of similar to like pregnancy, right? A woman goes through 9 months of pregnancy. One day, inevitably, what's going to happen? The baby is going to come out. It's only a matter of time, right? Sometimes women have like early deliveries, premature babies and stuff. But is it going to happen sooner or later? It is going to happen, okay? So the pregnancy, the woman is technically, you know, the baby is going to tear itself out and it's going to come out. Similarly, the sky, and by the way, does the woman look forward to the pregnancy? Of course, this thing is in her stomach for 9 months. She can't wait to get that delivery done. No woman enjoys the pregnancy, guys. Trust me. Okay, it's a painful experience. There's a lot of, you know, pain involved and difficulty and mood swings and all that stuff. So just like the woman looks forward to the delivery date, similarly, the sky is waiting for that green light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, go ahead. Tear yourself apart. That's what you're designed to do. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. Then Allah takes the camera, is now the lens is coming down. From the sky, it's coming down on earth. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. And when the earth flattens, or when the earth is extended flat. Why? Because that's needed. All the mountains need to disappear. Why? So that the human beings can be standing on the Day of Judgment to get their accountability done. So there's going to be, I don't know how many billions of people on the Day of Judgment, but we'll need a lot of space for that, right? I mean, and we all know that Arafat is a place where that's going to happen. And so Allah is going to flatten out all the mountains. There's going to be no mountains. Why? Because we need some space for all the people. And so Allah is saying, وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مَتَتْ. When the earth flattens out. Similarly, what Allah is saying here is that the earth is going to flatten out one day. Whether you like it or not, it's going to happen. And another beauty here is, وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. Some ulama tafsir say this is referring to the shadow of the human being. As the sun rises, what happens to the shadow? It gets, like if you're standing and the sun rises and then sets, what happens to your shadow? You're just looking at your shadow. It's tiny, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, right? The moment it hits Asr time, who knows how big your shadow is? How do you know if it's Asr time? They teach you in fiqh this. You don't have a watch, nothing. How do you know it's Asr time? Who knows? Nobody? Your shadow is double your height. Okay, that's Asr time. Alright, so you want to know if it's Asr time, just measure double your height. That will be Asr time. And so, just like your shade gradually increases its height, and then what happens with sunset? It decreases. You see the metaphor here? Again, graduality. Just like the shadow increases and decreases. Just like the sun rises and sets, we'll see later on. Just like the moon, you know, it starts off with like a small crescent and then full moon and then half moon and then, you know. So graduality, that's the overall theme here. So وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. When the earth flattens out and it releases everything that's in it. وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. It empties itself out. And it throws up, basically. You know, it throws up. Now, is throwing up a nice thing to do? You know, puking, vomiting, is that a pleasant thing to do? But sometimes, you know, when my kids puke, I'm happy. Why do you think? Because they're sick and there's junk food or some like poisonous thing. So you get a sense of relief when they throw it up, they throw it out, right? Alhamdulillah, that thing came out. Now they can sleep nicely. You know, kids nowadays, I don't know what's going on in the weather. They're puking a lot, yani. I don't know if you guys noticed this. But they feel agitated at night. They don't sleep. They're like just getting up and tossing and turning around. And there's something annoying. But the moment they throw up, it's disgusting at that scene, but then after that, they just sleep, and it's a peaceful sleep. Why? Because, alhamdulillah, that junk came out, okay? So Allah's saying, the earth is gonna throw up. Now, what's really happening between the lines here? What has the earth witnessed throughout time? What has the sky, why does the sky want to tear open? What has the sky and the earth consistently been witnessing throughout time? It has witnessed corruption and injustice on earth. It has witnessed disobedience to the master. And this whole time, the sky is like, it's desperate to just tear apart. It can't take it anymore. It can't take this disobedience. It's so disgusting to see. It's so annoying. Similarly, the earth, it's so disgusted at the human being and what disobedience he's committing and what injustice is happening and corruption and killing and terrorism and all these wars, right? The earth can't take it. And so all these dead bodies that are underground, especially the bad people, It can't even take, it doesn't want to accommodate them anymore. It's sick and tired of these bodies in its belly. Think of it like a big belly, right? The earth has a belly and there's all these corrupt people buried inside, liars, people who have been unjust, disobedient people. And it's carrying them. It's a burden on the earth. And so it can't wait for the day where Allah says, okay, khalas, release. And then the earth releases finally all this corruption and all this evil, all these bodies release, khalas. Then it's going to be at peace. So the earth is waiting for that moment also. Just like the sky was waiting to get the green light to tear open. Similarly, the earth is waiting for that green signal. It's waiting for that day. It can't wait to throw up. So Allah is saying on that day, وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. تَخَلَّتْ comes from the root word خَلَى, which means to completely empty out. It's not like, you know, two or three bodies will be still left there underground. No, no, no. Everything is going to come out. And this is part of resurrection, right? The idea that the disbelievers have rejected, that how can the how can we be resurrected? Allah is saying, the earth is going to throw you out. You're going to come out. And you're going to be reunited to your soul. And then, Hisab Kitab, start. Okay? And another beautiful meaning here is, وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. You know how like there are certain crimes and certain mysteries that have happened throughout time that no one knows the reality of? Like, I don't know, 9/11. Does anyone know for certainty what happened that day? Can someone say for sure, 100%, I know exactly what happened? Nobody can say that, right? There's different theories. There's conspiracy theories, but no one knows the reality. Allah's saying on that day, the realities are going to come out. You know? You'll be able to, you know, on the Day of Judgment, inshallah, when we go to Jannah, we can ask Allah, ya Allah, okay, just let's see the documentary, the real documentary of 9/11. What really happened on that day? Who was really behind it? And you'll see the facts. You know, and there's so many other scandals that have happened throughout history. Who assassinated, you know, Benazir Bhutto and all these mysteries, right? There's mysteries. Unsolved mysteries. There's some shows sometimes they show on Discovery Channel, right? Unsolved mysteries. And they remain unsolved. On the Day of Judgment, they will all be solved. And it's going to be good entertainment. Imagine just one night. Okay, let's see the assassination of Bhutto. What really happened? What really happened with the Watergate scandal? You know? All these different mysteries. And so, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. Again, repeat. So the earth wants to wait for that. وَأَذِنَتْ. It's waiting for the permission to be able to throw up. And وَحُقَّتْ. And it deserves. It deserves to throw up. Why? Because it can't take it. And here we're also learning that the earth and the skies are being obedient to their master. Now, who is a greater creation? The earth and the sky or us? No, in terms of size, we are insignificant compared to the skies, right? We are insignificant compared to the size of the earth and land. So Allah here, between the lines, is also telling us, listen, the sky and the earth are obedient to me. They have enslaved themselves to me, being their master. Why aren't you doing your job? They are designed to enslave themselves to me, and they're doing their job. You have been created to enslave yourself to me, to worship and fulfill your role of abd. Why aren't you doing it? That's also being highlighted in these ayat. And then, you know how like, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ. They all, Allah is talking about when this will happen, something is going to happen, right? There's like a continuation to that sentence. Remember? In the previous surah, it was عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. That's the answer. When the sun wraps up and loses its light, what's the eventual answer? عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. Every soul shall know what it brought forward, right? And in the سَمَاءٌ فَطَرَتْ, what was the answer? عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. In this surah, interestingly, there's no answer. There's no answer. Allah leaves it blank. He just moves on to the next subject. So the ulama here have a very interesting view that you already know. I've already told you twice. You know, so I don't need to repeat anymore. The previous surahs were enough for you. And you fill in the blanks for yourself now. And what's the blank? That the day of judgment is going to come, there is going to be accountability. Then Allah shifts the address to Ya Ayyuhal Insan again. O you human being, hey you human being, Ya Ayyuhal Insan. And Allah, when He says it this way, it's as if we have been distracted, we have been deluded. Remember? Ya Ayyuhal Insan, Ma Gharraka Bi Rabbika Al-Kareem. Hey human being, what's distracted you from your master? Here Allah is saying, Ya Ayyuhal Insan again. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. Beautiful words. But before we get into that, why did Allah say, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ? From the root word نَسِيَ, right? نَسِيَ الْإِنسَانِ. The insan is forgetful. So Allah, it's as if Allah is saying, you human being, you forgetful human being, hey you, forgetful human being, wake up. Stop forgetting this point. In the previous time it was mentioned, Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. Forget, stop forgetting that you are being distracted. Here Allah is saying, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqih. What does kadh mean? Innaka kadihun. Kadh means hard work. Extremely hard work. That's, you know, when you do a lot of hard work and you go back home and you're so tired, you're knocked out. That's called kadh. Allah saying, إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ. No doubt about it, you insan, you are gonna be struggling in this life. You're gonna be working hard. And every human being, especially men, right? Actually, even women, right? Men are busy. During your youth, you're busy studying. And then when you graduate, you're busy working. If you have a business, you're busy running your business, right? It's hard work, isn't it? It's very, only a few people who like are in the cream, they are chilling. The rest of the people are what? They're working really hard. And even the people who are the elite, like the ultra rich people, are they just completely chilling or they also have hard work to do? They're also working hard, partying maybe. They're partying hard. Right? They're or they're probably spending a lot of time making sure no one's stealing their money. Right? So everyone is busy doing something. And Allah is saying, it's bound, you are going to live this life. Don't think your life is going to be easy. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ. But what's beautiful, Allah adds, إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. Why did Allah say, إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ? Allah is saying, yes, you're working extremely hard, but eventually you will be reaching your master. So the imagery here is of, you know, conveyor belts. You know, escalators or conveyor belts, like when you're at the airport and the luggage comes, right? There's a belt that's coming, right? So Allah's saying, you are on a belt that's moving towards your master. Every single one of us, every single human being is on that conveyor belt. It's going towards the master and you're working hard. The question is, it's your choice whether you want to work hard towards goodness or you want to work hard towards evil and wasteful goodness, wasteful deeds. Either way, you're going to work hard. You know, the person who's doing good deeds, he's going to work hard and struggle for good deeds for Jannah. On the contrary, people of evil, they will be working hard, whether it's partying, working hard to steal money, working hard to, you know, make a living and make more money haram way, you know. They will be struggling. Either way, you are struggling. So you choose. At the end of the day, you are going to reach me. So life is designed for struggle. And here Allah is basically telling us, you choose. How do you, in what state do you want to meet your master? You want to meet your master with good deeds so that you can go to the paradise, or you want to meet your master with a lot of hard work of bad deeds? Either way, it's your choice. So some people, you know, there's two extremes here. There's some people who are living very simple lives. They're poor. They're, you know, just living hand to mouth. And they're struggling. But on the other hand, you have people of ultra luxury. Allah's saying, it doesn't matter if you're poor or rich on that day. Both of you are coming towards me. Both of you are going to work hard and you're going to come towards me. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَتْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. And you will meet him. You will meet him where and when? On the day of judgment. So again, that idea of life is going to take you that way. Whether you like it or not, it's going to happen. Then Allah says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابًا. Now you reach your master. That journey of life. Okay? The journey of life is going to take you towards your master. It's bound to happen. Allah says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. As for the one who received his book in his right hand. What's going to happen to him? فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Okay? So Allah's talking about the good people now. Those who worked hard towards Jannah. Those who accumulated a lot of good deeds. They didn't let their hard work go to waste. You know how sometimes you do a lot of hard work but it goes to waste? Right? Does that happen? It happens sometimes, right? And you're like, man, I spent all that time preparing for that, registration online. I set up the website and the password and this. And that at the end, the decision is made, no recording. 4 hours of hard work, down the drain, right? It's regretful, right? So Allah here is reminding us that there's going to be people who on the Day of Judgment, they're going to do a lot of hard work. But it is going to be of no use. That is the ultimate regret. All that hard work, down the drain. You know? So something to think about. So Allah is saying, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. Why the right hand? Because the right hand symbolizes honor. And remember, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That's the contract between us and Allah, right? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You're signing on the contract, Ya Allah. خلاص, I will be your slave. But Ya Allah, on the other hand, you need to help me out. Just like a handshake, like a divine handshake with Allah. On one hand, you're saying, I'll be your slave. On the other hand, Allah's saying, I'll help you out. It's so beautiful, you know. Dr. Israr talks about this in his tafsir. The divine handshake with Allah. And so, the right hand resembles honoring your contract. Why did Allah give you the book in the right hand? Because you honored your contract. You honored the commitment of becoming the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You fulfilled إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ. And Allah made it easy for you. And in the next ayah we'll see what? فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Allah will make it easy. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You see how it's connected to Fatiha beautifully? You make the commitment, you struggle, Allah will make it easy. In dunya and in akhirah. فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. When you receive the book on the right hand, you will be graded a very easy grading. And kids in school, they will relate to this very, it's going to be very relevant to you. Why? Because grading day, when you get your reports cards, have you guys gotten your report cards yet or no from school? Not yet? Yes? From school? Not yet. Okay. So everyone's dreading that day, right? It's a day of nervousness, a day of anxiousness. You're scared. You don't know if there's going to be any C's or D's there. Or else parents will be like really angry because they're paying a lot of money for the fees, right? So there's this nervousness for grading day. And so even believers will have that kind of uncertainty. But Allah is saying, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. On that day, the accountability will be easy. The grading system will go easy on you. They won't be tough on you. They won't be questioning your book line by line. What did you do here? What did you do here? You know? It's as if like you're walking past the gates now and the angels are there. They're questioning people. But they see you. You show them the book and they're just flipping through it. Yeah, you go ahead, man. Khalas, you're set. That's Hisab and Yasira. No question. Hey, you, come here. Where were you this day? At 12 o'clock midnight, who are you with? What were you doing with her? You know? And so that questioning, it's not going to happen. The teacher is going to go easy on you. You know how that really happens in school, right? Where teacher basically says, you know what, khalas, pass. You were good all semester. That actually happened to me once in college. I had an accounting teacher, mashallah, he was amazing, like the best teacher I ever had in college. And this was the last exam for my graduation with my bachelor's degrees. He was a hardcore Jew, you know, those like really hardcore Jews. He had that hair and the whole, he would dress like proper, like Zionist way, you know. But amazing teacher. And he didn't name us by names in the class. Every student had a number. So I was like 162, that was my number. So this shows how unbiased he was, right? He didn't care who you were, what your name was, if you're Muslim or non-Muslim. You were just a number to him. And so the whole semester, he just knows me by number. And you know, he gave us three exams during the semester and then the final exam. So, alhamdulillah, I did good in the first three exams, right? The fourth exam, the final exam, we walk in the class, the paper is upside down. And he says, before you turn your paper, there is a list of name, there's a list outside with names of students. Before you start the exam, go check that list. If your name is on that list, then you can go home, you have passed this class. And so I went there and I saw my name there. So basically, I didn't even sit for my last exam. I didn't have to take it. I just went home. And I was a bit confused, so I actually took a picture of it just to make sure. Like, you know, if he messes around with me, I'll tell him, listen, you said my name is on that list. So what was the logic behind that? The logic was, we studied for the first exam and we passed. I studied and I passed for the second exam. I studied and I passed for the third exam. By now, he knows that I'm a serious student. So therefore, obviously I studied for the fourth exam and obviously I'm going to pass, so might as well not take the exam. You've proved yourself already. It's amazing, subhanAllah, you know? And so, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. It's going to be easy accountability. And you know, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he tells us that whoever is questioned on that day is destroyed. So if you are put aside, excuse me, please step aside. We need to question you. You need to go in that room, please. And then they ask you a few questions. You need to go to the other room now. And then the third room, that means what? Problems. There's problems. You're in trouble. Okay? They've stopped you. And so the dua that the Prophet ﷺ used to always make, that we also should make, is Allahumma hasibna hisaban yasira. O Allah, make our accounting easy. Because we cannot handle your justice, Ya Allah. We need your rahmah on that day. Nobody is going to enter Jannah with their deeds. We're always going to be short of our deeds. We won't be able to pay back Allah to what He has given us. And so therefore, we rely on His mercy, not His justice, not His accounting. None of us can handle His accounting. And so, وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. And this, so this person, he got his book in the right hand, easy accounting. جَوْ أَشْكُرُ, you know. Now, when you get good news, who's the first person you usually call? When you pass your exam, who do you call? Your parents, your mom, right? Your loved ones. Allah is saying, وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. The first thing you're going to do once you get your book is you're going to go to your loved ones, the people you love. Why? Because you like to share these moments. These are special moments of happiness that are shared with people you love. There's no point in being happy and you have nobody to share it with, right? That's depressing. And so ahlihi here means people who are close to you. So even those who don't have parents, they're going to go to their like best friends or, you know, your wife or your kids. You just want to share this with somebody. And, you know, this happens all the time. Like, why do people share stuff on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram? Why do they share their precious moments? It's a human nature, right? When you're in a special moment, you want to share this with someone you love. And so you share this good news with the people around you. And وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. مَسْرُورًا also means from, you know, sometimes you have happiness that's inside of you, from sir. There's happiness inside of you that's a secret, but then you let it out to your family. So مَسْرُورًا comes from the word sir. Another interesting thing here about Jannah is the upgrades and downgrades in Jannah. So the rule is, let's say your uncle, mashallah, he's very pious, right? He's in Jannah number 2, counting upwards down, right? He's not in paradise, he's Jannah number 2. You're in Jannah number 8, okay? The uncle wants to meet with you. Now the question is, will the uncle be downgraded to number 8 to meet with you, or what do you think? No, he's not going to be downgraded. There's no downgrades in Jannah. So the uncle will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, I miss my nephew. I miss my brother. I miss my wife. I miss my kids. So Allah will give the signal and the whole family will be upgraded to which Jannah? Jannah number 2. From 8 all the way up to 2. There's no such thing as downgrade. And so part of, you know how sometimes you travel to a place alone and there's like a very nice waterfall and there's like, it's such a nice, beautiful scenery, but you're alone. So you take a selfie, right? And it's so depressing, right? I mean, and you're forcing yourself to smile in the selfie, right? But in reality, are you really happy? No. What do you wish for? You wish for your loved ones to be with you, right? You want them to share that moment with you. And so in Jannah, similarly, Allah knows that, you know, for us to be alone is going to be boring. We want our family. It's human nature to want your family, your kids, your spouse, your whole tribe to be with you, you know, to share that moment of happiness. And so Allah, that upgrade system is just amazing. So the lesson here is, if you have an uncle or a brother or a sister or your mother who's doing good deeds, you should actually encourage them to do more. Why? Because the chances of you being upgraded to their level will be higher then. You know, don't stop people who are close to you from doing good deeds. Encourage them. You know, so my family should be pushing me, go and give durus, and they shouldn't be complaining, no, you don't spend time with us. You know, you're always in the masjid teaching Quran, come and, you know, eat with us, do iftari with us. If they really understood this concept, what should they be doing? Go, man, go more. Don't come to home. We don't want to see you. Keep, you know. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ. The contrast now. As for the one who receives his book, what's the opposite of right? Allah didn't say left here. Allah says, وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ. He's going to receive his book behind his back. It's going to be in the left hand, but it's going to be where? Behind his back. Why? He's embarrassed. You know, he got it in his left hand, but you don't, like, you know, the person in another place in the Quran, we learned that the person who gets his book in the right hand will say, Ha umuqra'u kitabiya. Hey guys, check out my grades. All A's. I passed, guys. I graduated. Alhamdulillah. As for this person, he is ashamed. He's embarrassed. He has nothing to show. He can't show that. He can't even look at it himself. That's why it's behind his back. SubhanAllah, and this happens with people who don't study for an exam, right? The teacher calls you up, Ahmed, come. And he gives you the exam. You don't even look at the grade. Why? You know you failed. And you just roll it up, right? So no one else sees, and you walk back to your chair. This is human nature. We don't like to see our failures. No one posts a picture of their F grades on Facebook, right? All good news only. Sometimes people post like fabricated good news, right? They change the F to an A somehow with Photoshop and then they post it. So we're never proud of our mistakes and our failures. Nobody's proud of that. So it's wara'a dhahra, you don't even know how bad it is. فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا. You know what this person is going to say? He's going to make dua. Ya Allah, I want thubura. What is thubura? It's a beautiful word. Thubura means, I want the most painful sort of disease that's going to kill me instantly. This person is making dua for Allah. Ya Allah, please give me the most painful sort of disease that's going to kill me. The question is why? Why does he want to be killed now? He just got his grades. He knows he failed. This is still the day of judgment. Why does he want to die now? Where does he not want to go? Yeah, where is the conveyor belt going to take him next? How far is next stage, right? He's saying, Ya Allah, I don't want to even go there, man. Just kill me now. I don't mind if it's the worst possible painful disease. I'm willing to take it, Ya Allah. Just kill me now, please. But where will the belt take him? It'll take him to the hellfire, whether he likes it or not. So subhanAllah, you know, and going back to previous surah yesterday, mutaffifin, the people who cheated in business, what were they doing with their families? At the end of the surah we learned, they were making fun, right? of the believers. They were cracking jokes. They were doing facial gestures, you know? They were mocking these believers. And now, look at their attitude. They're wishing for death. SubhanAllah, the contrast. Yeah. In that surah, they were happy with family. Here, the believers are happy with their families. Not only that, وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا. And then they will... So Allah is saying the conveyor belt will take them to Sa'ira, the hellfire. They will be cast in it, in the hellfire. It's bound to happen. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. Allah is talking about the past of this person. He was, in dunya, he was happy with his family. He was happy. Remember, mutaffifin? Why were they happy with their family? They were happy that they got away with their sins. They were happy that they were able to rob $1 million and buy a nice house with a nice pool and party and... They were happy with getting away by breaking the law. They were happy with their cheating. Yes, I cheated the system, you know? They're proud of that. So Allah is saying, إِنَّهُ كَانَ, in the past, he was happy with his family. إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَن لَن يَحُورَ. He thought that he will not come back to us. يحور means to come back. They call this like the circle of life, you know? He thought that there is no return. No return to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, right? إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَن لَا يَحُورَ. And you know, the moment, look at the irony here. The moment someone dies, what do we say? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. When do we say this to the person? Or about the person? When he dies, when it's too late. Aren't we supposed to be saying this to him and to others around us before he dies? Aren't we supposed to be giving this advice on a daily basis? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Aren't we supposed to be telling this to our parents every day? Aren't we supposed to remind ourselves? Aren't we supposed to tell our brothers and sisters? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It's such a powerful reminder, isn't it? But when do we use it? When it's too late. When the guy's gone. So, this concept of we are returning to our master, this is something that we need to remind ourselves of constantly. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, go and visit the graves. It's good for you. It's good therapy. It's going to remind you of death. And death will destroy your temptations. And when you destroy your temptations, that's sida ujoge, you know? So go. Don't be afraid of going to the graveyard. Go, you know? Have a picnic in the graveyard with your family. Seriously, I used to teach, I still do, I teach in a Saturday school for kids. I go and give a dars of Quran in the graveyard with the kids. Why not, you know? And you know this concept of, I mean, I don't want to get into fiqh issues. I'm not a faqih, but women need that reminder also. Women need to go to the graves and remember death. Or is death only for men? Women are fine, they have free ticket to Jannah. No, so... Go to the graves, visit your dead people, remember death. It will remind you that you will also end up there one day. بَلَا إِنَّ رَبَّهُ كَانَ بِهِ بَصِيرًا. Indeed, his master was in full view of him. This is beautiful now. Allah is talking about this person who thought he's not going to be held accountable, the person who's doing tatfif, the person who's getting away with bad deeds. Allah is saying, Allah was in full view of you the whole time. Everything is recorded in that book. You thought you're going to get away with it? And the previous ayat, we learned that the angels are recording everything, right? Over and over again, Allah kept telling us, كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ كِرَامٍ بَرَرَ. Remember? Allah here is saying, if the previous surahs weren't enough for you to believe that angels are watching you, then in this surah, Allah doesn't mention angels. Who does He mention? Himself. If angels are not enough for you, if belief in angels is not enough for you to get right on track, then I'm watching you. Al-Basir. Then Allah moves to the next topic. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ. No. You know why Allah says فَلَا? It's to negate everything else that was contrary to this. فَلَا. All of you are wrong. أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ. I swear by shafaq. What is shafaq? It is the time before Maghrib, when the sky is orangey red. Have you ever seen that color? We see that every day, right? The orangey red color. It's a beautiful scene. Allah is saying, "Uqsimu bishafaq." Why is Allah swearing by shafaq? Interesting. Shafaq, whenever you see shafaq, and this is a lesson for us, next time you see shafaq, you should think about this concept. Shafaq is the last part of the day. It's as if Allah is telling us the day is coming to a close. It's the last part of the day. And so we should be reminded of how the fact that everything, we are getting closer to our death also. Every day, you know how like birthdays are celebrated. Why? It's a moment of happiness for people, right? They celebrate birthdays and, you know, happy birthday to you and the candles and everything. It's a moment of happiness. But if you think about it, every birthday you have is a year closer to your death. So every birthday, we're actually technically supposed to be crying, not laughing. Unless you're doing super amazing things for deen and your taqwa and iman is flying and, you know. In reality, we're all muqassirun, right? We're all not doing what we're supposed to do. And so every birthday should be a reminder. It should be actually a depressing day. Oh man, another year that I wasted. I'm getting closer to my grave. You know? So, I mean, I'm okay with birthdays as long as they're not happy. It's okay to remember the day you were born. It's 1 year closer to your death. It's a good reminder. It's going to increase your iman, isn't it? Think about it. Isn't it going to increase your iman if you just think about this concept that you are getting closer, 1 year closer to your death? So if it increases your iman, why not? And so time of shafaq, interestingly, is also the time where everyone's going back home from work. Khalas, during the day, you're working hard. Shafaq time, what happens to the highways and the traffic? Everyone's going back home. The conveyor belt theme. You know, everyone, just like shafaq comes every day, you finish your work, you're going home. Similarly, the conveyor belt is going to take you to your death. And then the death, after death, there's going to be resurrection. After resurrection, it's either Jannah or hellfire. That theme of graduality is just coming, man. There's no, you can't avoid it. It's unavoidable. It's happening. And so next time you see shafaq, what are you supposed to remember? Death. Remember that time is running out. That's why Allah swears by al-asr. Inshallah, we look at it when we get to it. Wal-asr inna al-insana lafi khusr. I swear by the time of asr, which is also before Maghrib, right? The last part of the day. Allah's telling us, khalas, time is running out, man. Yalla, time to work, time to get something done. Before it's over, before it's too late. وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا wasaq. After shafaq, what comes? Layl. So Allah talks about the night now. And the night, as it becomes completely dark, as it completely takes over the sky. Just like every day after shafaq, night comes. Similarly, after life, there is what? Akhirah. Death and then akhirah. What's wrong with you disbelievers? How can you reject the day of judgment? If you have no problem with believing that night comes after day, why do you have a problem with believing that akhirah comes after dunya? It's just logical. It's a gradual process. It's going to happen. What makes you have doubts in this? And so, وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا wasaq. It's also the time of the night when everyone goes back to their homes. They're having their like dinner and then getting ready to just rest and sleep. And everyone, even animals, like they go back to their nests. You know, the birds go back to their nests. Everyone's just going back. People go home and they're khalas. That's also wasaq. Envelope, you know, to just come close together. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا اتَّسَقْ. And the moon, as it becomes full. Again, similarly, Allah is drawing the metaphor for what? For graduality. Just as the shafaq comes, it blends into the night. Similarly, the moon also, from a full moon, you see half moon and then a crescent and then it disappears. Just as that is so certain, that graduality is so certain, it's bound to happen. Similarly, the resurrection is bound to happen. Your death is going to come. You will be resurrected. It's that certain. You got to be certain about it. And so these are all stages. And then Allah says, subhanAllah, see how it's all connected. Then Allah swears, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. There is no doubt about it. You will be surely experiencing state after state. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ from rukub means to climb, right? طَبَقٌ عَنْ طَبَقٍ. طَبَق means floor after floor after floor. It's also used for plates. Why? Because you keep plate over plate over plate, right? So what is Allah saying here? What's the metaphor here? Allah saying, just like, remember the day when you were born? Before you were born, you were just in the womb of your mother. You were a drop of filthy fluid. Then you were in the womb of your mother. Then one day you came out. That was the next stage. And then after the hospital, you go home. That's your next stage. Then, you know, you'll reach the stage where that you start walking. That's the next stage. Then you reach the stage where you start talking. Then you reach the stage where you go to nursery or pre-nursery. Next stage, nursery. Next stage, school, elementary, secondary, high school, college, graduation, marriage, kids. طَبَقٌ عَنْ طَبَقٌ. Again, the conveyor belt thing, right? Just like your life is going through these different stages of life, can anyone deny our bodies deteriorating? Human beings are designed that way, right? You know, sometimes non-Muslims, they actually have an argument against Islam that your master, you claim he's perfect, he can't even design a human being that's going to be perfect forever. How come human beings start losing their hair when they get older? How come human beings start losing, like their eyes start weakening? How come their knees start weakening? That's an argument they have. They don't understand the fact that just like the sky was designed to tear open, similarly the human being was designed to deteriorate and end up in his grave. That's by design. It's not a flaw in Allah's creation. You guys understand this? Yeah? And so, no human being can argue that with time your body will deteriorate. And subhanAllah, what happens as we grow older? Like, look at the spinal cord, right? As we grow older, like when you're young, you can't even sit straight, right? When you're a baby, and then your spine gets straight, and you're straight, straight, straight. What happens throughout the end of your life? The spine starts bending. You start doing ruku' forcefully. Allah is literally making you do ruku' in your life. Even if you haven't prayed a single prayer in your life, you're doing ruku'. And Allah, subhanAllah, is making you face where? As you get older, He's making you face the ground. He's reminding you that you're going to end up there. And look at old people. They have their stick. Where are they looking? Always down. You know, you never see an old man looking at the birds and the sky. Who looks up at the sky? Kids. They're always up. Even when they're crawling, like their head's up, just looking around. Have you ever seen a baby down, just like depressed? No. So this shows you how graduality happens. As human beings, and you know, psychologically this is also proven. I've tried it in my workshops. You know, human beings, when they look up, then they think about the future. And it's optimistic and it's nice. When you look down, what happens? You become depressed. Why? Because you reminisce on the past. You think about the past, and the past is usually filled with what? Regrets, and guilt, and sorrow. And today, look at people, go to restaurants, look in the cars, where are people looking? With their devices. Everyone's looking down. So we're forced to become depressed now with these gadgets, subhanAllah. Literally, we're looking down. Nobody has time to look up. You know, that's why part of vacation or relaxation is just looking up, you know? You're relaxing in your chairs. Yeah. Unless you're taking selfies, you're looking up then, right? But subhanAllah, see how Allah designed the human being to deteriorate. And so Allah's telling these people, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. Do you deny these stages of your life? Your back is doing ruku', man. When are you going to get your act together? When are you going to start praying? You're already doing it. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. So these are also, like طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ also has to do with personalities. You know how we go through different personalities as we grow older? We get mature and mature, and we look at our past, we look at how we were 5 years ago, and what do? We laugh, right? Man, I was so stupid, man. What was I thinking? And then 5 years down the road, you're going to look back and say, oh, bachcha tha main yaar, you know. You keep evolving as a personality also. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. And Allah takes you through these experiences. So, subhanAllah, look at all these things that Allah's talking about. This is what should go on in our minds when we see Shafaq next time. This is the people of thought and reflection, you know? When Allah says, look around you for signs. When we see Shafaq next time, remember this lesson. Wow, that's a reminder of my death. That's a reminder of me ending up on the conveyor belt towards my grave. And subhanAllah, even the process of death, there's graduality in it, you know? Person is in the hospital, ER, ICU, then death happens, then gradually, next tabaq is what? You're taken where? You're taken to the maghsala, right? The place where they wash you. And then after washing you, the next step is what? Covering you up in the shroud, in the coffin. Next step, salah, janazah. Next step, carry him on the shoulders. Next step, bury him in the grave. Next step, fill up the grave. Next step, two angels will come and ask you questions. Who was your Rabb? What was your deen? Who was your messenger? Next step, either a window of Jannah will open up for you. We learned this from the hadith, by the way. The believers, in the grave, a window of Jannah will be opened up for you, and you'll be able to have a nice view of your future Jannah. And on the contrary, you know, there'll be snakes and all these horrific things that will happen for those who... So you'll probably get a... By the grave, you'll get a hint of where you're going to end up. Yeah. And the next step, resurrection. Next step, judgment day. Next step, hellfire or Jannah. SubhanAllah. You see the tabaqs? It's such a beautiful ayah. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. And then Allah concludes by saying, فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. What's wrong with them? Why aren't they believing? Believing in what? Believing in the day of judgment. Believing that they will be held accountable one day. Believing in the fact that this is bound to happen. This end is bound to happen. Death is going to come. فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. وَإِذَا قُرِئَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنُ لَا يَسْجُدُونَ. What's wrong with them? Why aren't they doing sajda when Quran is recited to them? And this is an ayah of sajda, so let's all do sajda and then we'll continue, inshallah. Oops, disaster happened here, huh? Even the microphone did sajda with us. So, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنُ لَا يَسْجُدُونَ. You know, did you know that pre-Islam, the Arabs used to do sajda whenever they were overwhelmed with an amazing incident? And it is recorded in Seerah also that when the Prophet ﷺ, in one incident, he was reciting Surah An-Najm. And it was so powerful for... And who was the audience? The disbelievers. Kuffar of Quraysh. Enemies of the Prophet. So as he's reciting, the Surah An-Najm is very powerful. And it's rhythmic. There's a lot of like strong rhythm in it and very powerful words. By the end of the surah, all the kuffar, all the disbelievers fell into sajda. SubhanAllah. This is what the impact of the Quran had on them. And so Allah is saying, what's wrong with you guys? Why aren't you believing? Why aren't you doing sajda when the Quran is recited onto you? وَإِذَا قُرِئَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنُ لَا يَسْجُدُونَ. Why are we supposed to do sajda? What's this a symbol of, by the way? It's a symbol of how amazing these words are, number one, you know, appreciation. And number two, a symbol of obedience, right? The overall bottom line message of the Quran is what? I've been repeating this over and over again. What's the one sentence summary of the Quran? Enslave yourself to your master, accept your master, and enslave yourself to him. So by doing sajda, that's the ultimate submission, right? That's the ultimate obedience. And so, بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ. But those who have disbelieved, they deny. After all this, they're still denying. بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ. They're denying. They're being ungrateful. They think all of this is a lie. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يُعُونَ. And Allah knows مَا يُعُونَ. It's so beautiful. يُعُونَ comes from the root word وِعَاء, which means a vessel or something that carries stuff. Okay, وِعَاء. So Allah is saying, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يُعُونَ. Allah knows what they're carrying, what deeds they're carrying. So think about, like, continuing our discussion of journey. You know how this surah is talking about this journey towards Allah? So imagine a traveler. Now, what does a traveler take with him? Luggage, right? Luggage. Back in the days, there was a stick with a piece of cloth with all your stuff in it. Nowadays, we have the bags, right? We drag them along. So Allah is saying, every human being is going towards his master with his bag. That's the journey we're taking. And Allah knows what's in that bag. Good deeds or bad deeds. SubhanAllah, it's so beautiful. So that backpack or whatever it is, everything is there. فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. So give them the good news of عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. This is a bit like harsh language, right? How come Allah is actually showing some sarcasm when I'm with these people? Give them the good news of what? Hellfire. Is hellfire good news? But why is Allah being sarcastic with them? And this is a very important point. Look at the precision of the language, subhanAllah. Like when I read this stuff, it gave me goosebumps. فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. O Prophet, give them the good news of this عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. This punishment, that is أَلِيمٍ. You know what أَلِيمٍ means? Painful always. Because you know, in jail, like I told you in the previous surah, in jail, when you punish someone, let's say you slap someone 10 times, right? That's his punishment every day. So first day, it's going to hurt. Second day, it's going to hurt. After 1 week, that 10 slaps, will it make a difference? Why? His cheek got used to it. He probably doesn't even feel it anymore, right? So as prisoners spend time in jail, they get used to it. Their body gets used to the marpeet, you know, in jail. Allah is saying, عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, the pain is going to be consistent. It's not going to go, you're not going to get used to it and it's going to be fine. No, it's going to be أَلِيمٍ. And in another ayah of the Quran, we learn that Allah will give them death and bring them back to life. Give them death and bring them back to life. He's going to, even this, Allah talks about the skin, that the skin will burn and then Allah will replace it with new skin. It's going to burn, replace with new skin. Burn, replace with new skin. So عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. But coming back to that point, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ. Allah here is addressing the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Give them the good news of the hellfire. So lesson number one, this is not for us. We can't go around telling our, you know, non-believing friends and neighbors, I have good news for you, man, you're going to the hellfire. Mabruk. Enjoy your hellfire, man. We don't have that license. Who has that license? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now the second point, why does Rasulullah have the license? Because Allah here is talking about a specific group of disbelievers. We can't generalize this to include all non-Muslims today. These are non-Muslims who saw and lived among the best human being to live on the face of this earth. And he, not only was he the best character, he gave them the best speech. So it's the best of both worlds, right? You have the best, you have Quran, the best speech, and you have the best teacher. Any excuses to disbelieve? Any excuses not to believe? You have been given the gift of the best teacher and the best words. So it's an ideal situation for you to pass the exam. So if you fail the exam with the best of humanity amongst you, then what does that mean? You must be really, really messed up. And just yesterday, a brother came to me and asked a very innocent question. He was asking about how, like, disbelievers, them going to the hellfire, I mean, isn't that a bit cruel and stuff? Will, like, who are the disbelievers who will go to hellfire? And is it easy to go to Jannah or difficult? That was his question. So, you know, the answer I gave him was, according to my humble knowledge, and according to Quran, you really have to be extremely messed up to end up in hellfire. You know? You really have to be messed up. Because Allah, His mercy is unthinkable. We have no idea. And we looked at it in Surah Al-Fatiha, how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And so, Allah is saying here that these kuffar who were amongst the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they heard the message. They saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same Prophet who was a Sadiq al-Amin. Yet they rejected him. Not only rejected him, they accused him of horrendous things, right? Crazy, liar, soothsayer. And then they even attempted to kill him. These people, the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given, been given the license to tell them good news for you of the hellfire. Okay, so we needed to clarify this. This is a license for Rasulullah, not for us. And then Allah says, as for those believers, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَنُّونَ. This is the last ayah, we'll conclude with that. As for those who believe and do righteous deeds, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, what is for them? لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. For them is an ajr that's غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. You know what مَمْنُون means? Not cut off. So it's infinite ajr, infinite reward. Now, again, Allah emphasizes here not only iman. What did He say? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَوَتْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And I keep emphasizing this, but I need to. Except for those who have belief, and their belief leads them to do righteous deeds. And the precise word here is صَالِحَات, comes from the root word صَلُحَة, which means to fix. Which means to fix something. And when do you fix something? When it's messed up, when it's broken, when it's not working, right? And so there's such subtle beauty in this word, عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَات. Because you know how, like, sometimes some people think Jannah is like way too high, man. I'm too messed up. I don't think I can get there. Allah's saying, just try to fix yourself. Salihat is jama' qilla. Just a little bit of salihat. Just try to fix one thing here, one thing there. Don't think about the overall change, the overall transformation. Don't get carried away with that big goal. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Just do those small things that's going to make you a better person. SubhanAllah. That's what iman is supposed to result in. عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ is a fruit of iman. So as for those people who aren't continuously improving themselves, they aren't continuously fixing things. Now, do all of us have things that we need to fix in ourselves? Every single one of us. None of us is an angel here. Any angels in the room? Any prophets? So none of us is ma'asum. All of us need to improve. This is called self-development, right? If you claim, I don't need to improve, alhamdulillah, I'm fine the way I am, that's arrogance. You need to check your arrogance, man, because that's the Prophet said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ كِبْرٍ. Whoever has even an atom's weight of arrogance in the heart will not enter Jannah. It's a scary, scary hadith. So, we all need to have this sense of improvement and fixing. Allah is saying, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. These people who truly believe, they're constantly fixing themselves. They realize their weaknesses, they realize their shortcomings, and they're constantly trying to improve. Slowly, صالحات. Allah didn't say, أعمال الصالحة. صالحة means like a lot of good deeds. صالحات, just small. One here, one there. See the mercy of the choice of the words? Just do a little bit of improvement here. Get your khushu' in your salah a bit better. If you're not praying, try to pray one salah. Not all five. Start with one. At least start with one. If you're not praying in the masjid, praying at home, try to do Isha in the masjid every day. You're not waking up for Fajr? Okay, try. Once a week, try. You're not reading Quran? Okay, read half a page every day. Read one ayah a day. You have messed up relations with your family, you know, once a week, take them out for ice cream. Do small deeds here and there. Smile at your parents. If you have, you're running a haram business, okay, don't shut the whole business down next day. No, cut down. Okay, close down your credit card. You know, start giving some charity. Give 100 fils here, 100 fils there. Amil salihat. Small things. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, unfortunately, and I close with this. I know I've gone, but I'm just going to close with this very important point. Unfortunately, one of the tragedies of our time is that I don't want to name ulama and du'at and stuff, but what's been usually told to the masses is examples of the ultra-righteous people like Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar radiallahu anhu and, you know, Uthman ibn Affan, he gave away all his wealth. Abu Bakr Siddiq gave away all his wealth. Like in fundraisers, they always quote these stories, right? Come on, give all your wealth. Go to your bank and empty your account and give. Fi sabilillah. Abu Bakr Siddiq did this. Umar did half of his wealth. Now this is actually not fair because there were 10,000 Sahaba other than Umar and other than Abu Bakr Siddiq who were also Sahaba. You know, why aren't those stories quoted? There were Sahaba who had drinking problems. Weren't they? Yes or no? No one's talking, they're shy, yani. Let's be honest, guys. Let's study Sirah, yani. There were Sahaba who had drinking problems. Drinking was gradually prohibited. Correct or no? There were Sahaba who had, you know, issues in terms of the opposite gender. Right or no? There was affairs going on. There was. So why do we keep quoting the ideals? Why do we keep raising the bar so much? You know what happens when you raise the bar so much? You know what happens to the masses? They give up. They lose hope. They're like, man, main to kuch nahi hu yaar, main kach raha hu. There's no way I'm going to Jannah. If that's such a high standard, man, khalas, I'm wasting my time in the masjid, man. I might as well go to the club tonight, you know? What's the point? I am never going to reach that level. And so we need to stop. I mean, it's good to some every now and then quote these people. That's great to aim high. But at the same time, let's be realistic and let's give the message that Islam and Allah's demands are not super high. Allah wants us to take the baby steps towards Him. Okay? And again, why does this resonate with this surah? Because the overall theme of the surah was graduality, wasn't it? Take it easy, man. It's one step at a time. Don't overburden yourself. And what happens to people who change overnight? What happens to them? They burn out and then they fall back on their face. Okay? The real progress happens gradually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have created the entire universe in one day or in 1 second. How many days did He create it in? 6 days. Allah could have made the night turn into day in one switch, on and off. Why did He make it gradual? In it are signs for us that even human beings, their change happens gradually. We need to be people of mercy. We need to be easy on people. And we need to give them their time. Take your time to do it. It's okay. As long as you're taking those baby steps. عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Allah wants us to get on that path. Allah's not going to reward us on how fast we're riding on Sirat al-Mustaqim. Right? Has that come anywhere? Our speed, are we driving 120, 180? Even if you're driving 1 kilometer an hour, half a kilometer an hour, speed doesn't matter. It's not a risk. As long as you die on that path trying. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.